This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And, well, it's a Thursday. That means the Steelers have gotten their second practice in of the week. This is the more meaningful practice in terms of, you know, the team getting ready to play on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens at Acrisure Stadium. And, well, we have the injury report here, Matt.
Let's just start there,
Let's start there. Interesting injury report. So Deontay Johnson has a little bit of a hip issue. Yesterday he was limited. Today he did not practice.
Wow, okay.
Now, I don't expect that to hold him back, but
still, that's not a good sign. You know,
I think that's something he's been dealing with for a while now.
Has he?
Yeah. He was on the injury report earlier in the year with that. Najee Harris with the oblique injury did not practice yesterday. He was limited today.
Okay.
He's going to play with that, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's not to worry about.
Malik Reed did not practice yesterday with a back issue. Today he was a full participant. Chukwuma Okorafor did not practice yesterday with that shoulder that he tweaked in the game. Was limited today, obviously trending in the right direction.
And he came back.
Yeah. TJ Watt was limited yesterday, didn't practice today with that rib issue. Not concerned about that. He didn't practice at all last week.
Right. You know, it seems like he's fighting several things.
Yeah. You know. Larry Ogunjobi with that toe issue did not practice either the last 2 days because that's kind of been the norm for him of late. And then Cam Hayward was given a day off rest.
So is there any of those that stand out? I mean, as you think there's a chance they don't play? I mean, Deontay seems like the scariest of the group, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem. We'll see. But we'll see. I mean, you never know. I do believe, so the Steelers have played indoors the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Deontay's been dealing with that hip issue now for a few weeks. And you play back-to-back games on turf. I think maybe that crops up a little, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah. And you're unaccustomed to it. It's like your home stadium and all that good stuff. I mean, he's moving around great in games. He didn't look like anything's really bothering him.
Yeah, I would expect him to play. We'll find out more tomorrow, obviously. But I don't expect that to be an issue. The Steelers also today opening the 21-day window for Chris Boswell to return.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about him and William Jackson.
William Jackson, they haven't done anything with you. Yeah. But with Boswell, that 21-day window, I would expect it to be a 2-day window.
Okay. And thanks for all your services, but we got our guy, you know.
I think, because he's, Boswell had the an injured groin. Maybe you just put right on your practice squad.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you got him.
Plucks him.
It's a good chance.
You know, I mean, he's put enough tape out there. Yeah. I mean, particularly if I was a dome team or a warmer weather team, like I haven't studied him to no end, but he doesn't seem like he's got the biggest leg. I don't know if I were the Bills or Patriots or a team like that, if I'd love to have him. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams he could help. There's a bit of a kicker shortage.
There is, and we've talked about that in the past. Mm-hmm. Like,
you don't want to be one of those teams.
That's the reality of it. The Ravens have not yet put out their injury report for today, but yesterday,
I didn't even look at
mackerel.
Yesterday. Okay. We know Lamar's out.
Yes. So Calais Campbell got the veteran day off.
Yes.
As did Devin Duvernay, which you wouldn't think that would be the case.
I think he might have tweaked something this past week, too.
And Justin Houston, which I get Justin Houston is like,
he's an
like Campbell. He's,
he's
an old dude. But Lamar did not practice. Patrick McCary did not practice with a toe issue.
Interesting. He's a guy I like a lot because he can play center. He can play all five spots.
Yeah.
He's been the Stanley replacement, left tackle, and has done quite well, you know, and obviously that's a big deal for them.
Marcus Peters was also given a veteran's day off.
Okay.
Wonder if he jumped any passes on his on his day off. Delshawn Phillips, who's a linebacker, was limited. Patrick Queen with the thigh injury was limited.
He went off on a cart, I think, last week.
Yeah. That's apparently a thigh bruise.
Yeah,
deep thigh bruise.
I think they were happy,
which is
with
painful.
The
but
sure.
Yeah. Ronnie Stanley with the ankle was a full participant. Christian Welch, who's a linebacker, who's in concussion protocol, was limited. Daryl Worley, a cornerback, did not practice. Kevin Zeitler with a knee did not practice.
Starting guard, yeah.
And Morgan Moses was given the day off for rest as well. They're starting right tackle.
Yeah, he's played well too.
How'd they line up to practice with all those offensive
linemen out? Yeah. I mean, so it sounds like Stanley's going to play.
He's leaning in that direction,
At least he gave it a go. It doesn't mean today he doesn't Fuel Super Four.
He hasn't been the same, though.
I know. I mean, that's... It sounds almost blasphemous.
At this point, you almost want him to play.
I would say I might rather go against him than Makari. I mean, Makari is considered more of a backup, six guy, you know, Strelzik type, you know. I mean, six guy is a valuable guy, but I don't worry about Stanley. I don't think he comes in and looks like a Pro Bowler. I mean,
no, because he hasn't, yeah.
It's been November was his injury 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
And he hasn't done anything good since.
Matt, I was tooling around on the Football Outsiders website mm-hmm. today, and I finally figured out, I've only been on this site a gajillion times mm-hmm. in the last 10 years, but I finally figured out you can look at DVOA.
You can sort it and whatnot.
You can sort it in week by week, mm-hmm. or you can do certain time periods and things of that nature. So since the Steelers bye week in week 9.
Okay. So is that 9 till now or 10 till
this
now?
This is 10 till now.
Okay.
Over that 4 week period, the Steelers are 12th in overall DVOA.
That adds up. Yeah.
Team DVOA. The Ravens are 10th.
Okay.
You know, everybody's looking at this going, oh, the Ravens are so much better than the Steelers. Not the way they're currently playing. Both teams are playing well.
The Ravens' defense is playing very well.
Yeah.
I don't know that their offense is playing well.
The rush defense is number one.
It's been awesome. Yeah.
Pass defense is 14th.
Okay.
And obviously their special teams, they're 15 in special teams, the Steelers, because of the kick return that they gave up, are 30th in that time.
I assume Baltimore's 1 or 2 or whatever.
They're 15th.
Oh.
But then you look at the offenses. The Ravens' offense in that 4 week period is 22nd.
I bet it's low and it's dropping.
The Steelers are 14th.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Steelers should be higher.
And if you break it down even further than that, they're number two in rush offense. Yeah.
Wow.
Number two rushing offense over the last month. That passes the eye test.
It absolutely does. Where are the Ravens? I mean, I'm sure they're pretty high. I mean, they have to be higher running than passing.
15th on running the ball, 27th passing.
I said their passing game is brutal.
It's awful. It's
yeah.
Like, watching them play right now is like watching a high school game.
Yeah. I mean, even with Lamar, it was like watching a high school game with a really good quarterback.
Right, yeah.
With the five-star recruit. And even like Andrews, like first 6 weeks, he was tearing it up. Everyone knows that. Anyone who plays fantasy knows that. His numbers are drastically down because he's getting so much attention. I mean, they need a receiver bad. They need a new passing game bad.
Like, they're the team that should be interested in Odell Beckham.
Right, right.
And there's been no word, like none of that buzz.
No. I mean, they go out and get DeSean Jackson. I mean, I don't understand that either, but... Yeah, I don't fear their offense, especially without Lamar, of course. But assuming, you know, that's a new development, looking at this game 2 or 3 weeks ago, I thought, this is going to be a low-scoring game. They're not going to dominate the Steelers on the ground and certainly not through the air. I mean, and I still believe that.
Yeah, you sent me these stats earlier today. The Ravens' offense since 2021 with Lamar Jackson, 44.1% success rate, mm-hmm. 41.1% third down conversion rate.
Pretty good.
7.24 yards per pass attempt. Mm-hmm. 33.9% first down rate on pass attempts. So basically one out of every three passes results in a first down.
Right, right.
With Huntley, 41.6% success rate. So
that's not
drastically.
Crazy,
yeah.
Because they run the ball well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 32.1% third down conversion rate.
Brutal, yeah.
32%. I mean, that's bad.
Right. You know, 3 out of 10.
5.74 yards per pass attempt.
Really low.
Whereas Lamar was 7.24. So almost a yard and a half. Yard and a half difference.
Every time you attempt a pass. Not
that's a huge
one.
Difference.
Every time you drop back. That's a yard and a half difference. It's massive.
Massive. That's night and day.
Night and day. Right, right, right. It's probably near, I bet Lamar is 8 or 9 or 10th in the league as opposed to 30, 31, 32.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the difference in rankings with that.
And then a 28.5% first down rate on pass attempts.
Yeah, because he throws everything sideways.
Everything sideways.
Right, right, right.
What was he, 24 of 24 last week on passes within 10 yards?
22,
line scrimmage.
But yeah.
22
of
22,
right.
Yeah.
And they're all 10 yards and in, so if you extrapolate that out, it's not so great for the other completions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not horrible, but everything's short, and it's all – he throws outside the numbers a lot more than Lamar.
But
for
it's
two
all,
reasons.
It's quick outs. It's wide receiver
screens.
Some of it's
behind the line of scrimmage. Because throwing the middle is hard.
I mean,
that's something Pickett's getting better at. I mean, Lamar doesn't love throwing outside the numbers, but throwing in the middle of the field is hard. And this guy doesn't do much of that either.
What they
also, there's a lot of mistakes. I mean, sacks and turnovers have been massive.
They've been a problem
been in there since 2021.
If you look at what they want to do offensively, they want to run the football, whether it be with the quarterback or with the the running backs, and then they want to play action, run play action off of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're throwing everything sideways, so okay, play action to a 5 yard out,
right? And DeSean Jackson plays so little; he's like 20 snaps a game, 25 snaps a game, and he's clearly their three right now. So when he's in, it's like, well, they might play action bomb to this guy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty predictable, all in all. And again, Andrews' numbers are down. I might just put Minka on Andrews the whole day, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that means more KZ and, you know, different packages. But, I mean, that might be harder to do with big defensive personnel. But even Andrews hasn't been great.
Yeah, I think the one reason why you get a DeSean Jackson if you are the Ravens, because you know when he does come on the field because of his...
I mean, he's a deep guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to occupy the deep safety.
Right. If I can keep a safety, you know, if I can get him in a too high shell or keep them from biting or those type of things, he does his job.
I'd be willing...
That was Marquise Brown's job.
I'd be willing to bet they put him on Andrew's side of the field a lot.
I would think so, just to make space for him.
Yeah. Now your safety's going to have to go deep here, and that's going to open up things for Andrews over the middle.
But I don't even know if Deshaun's as scary as he used to be. Yeah,
I mean, he's caught a couple.
Yeah. I mean,
then he limps off the field.
Right, and he limps off the field. I mean, I know he has rare deep speed gifts, you know, but he doesn't worry me at those bubble screens and things like that.
I also know that I don't trust. I mean, Huntley's not throwing the ball down the field like Lamar.
No, you want Huntley to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. And if that means pressing DeSean Jackson and begging them to throw deep, okay, maybe they beat you once, but he's going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
Miss a lot.
It's going to be an interesting matchup, you know, just because of that factor. You know,
I mean, Huntley does rush for like 55-ish yards per game.
Yeah.
I mean, design stuff. I mean, Lamar's better, but he's a good runner.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the, you know, he's in his career has averaged 6.6 yards per carry. That's what Lamar's averaging this year.
Yeah, it's good. Right, right.
But he's not the dangerous runner that Lamar is.
No. I don't think he's as electric. He certainly isn't as stop-start, you know.
Yeah. And he's not going to take 180 yards on you.
Probably not. No, I mean, I'm sure he has plenty of 8, 10, 15-yard chunk runs to get to 6.6, but he's not going to have the 71.
Yeah, I'm looking up his combine or his college, his pro day. I don't know.
I don't even know if he was at the combine.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
I don't remember him being there, but it's, I mean, I would be shocked if he's under 4.4. You know,
4.56, I just found
him. Okay, I would say if he's in the 4.4s.
Which fours, is good for a quarterback.
It's very good for a quarterback.
Not really all that great, though, for... You know, if he was,
I mean, compared to Lamar, no.
Yeah. If it was a running back that ran a 4.5, she's like, oh, he has okay speed.
It's all right. Yeah. It's adequate.
So if that's what you want to do, you want to run the guy who has 4.56 speed.
Mm-hmm. Who's not a real tackle breaker.
Yeah. Just looking here. His.
Again, we're killing him. I think he's a very good backup for Lamar.
Perfect for what they have.
Perfect for what they're doing. He doesn't cost any money. It's not a big investment. Great backup. But it's a big difference when he's out there versus not.
They listed him as 6'1¾", 207 pounds.
He's not huge.
Yeah, 4.56 in the 40. Shuttle was 4.31. The three cone was 6.84.
Oh, we're fine.
Yeah, those are fine.
Change direction.
Broad jump of 10.85. Vertical jump of 43.5 inches.
Wow, that's flying.
Yeah, that's twitchy.
Yeah, that's twitchy. I mean, I'm not made it sound like he has no explosiveness. I mean, Lamar's like the most explosive runner in the league. I mean, compared to Lamar, no.
It's Lamar and Justin Fields and then everybody else.
Yeah. Right. And he's in the next category. You know, I think Mariota's in the next category, you know, that they just faced. I think he's probably a better runner than Mariota.
He's a better runner than Pickens.
No,
or Pickett, I'm sorry. Pickett,
I'm sorry.
I keep doing that. I don't know why I'm doing that this week. But, yeah, he's a better runner than Pickett.
Right.
But he's not, again, he's not Lamar.
He's not Lamar.
And you're going to try to run the same offense.
And you are.
With a lesser passer.
Right. Your main guy is noticeably different. I mean, it's...
And so the people who are out there...
And they were struggling with Lamar.
Yeah, the people in Baltimore are saying, well, you should just let Lamar walk and start Tyler Huntley. Are you out of your mind?
I know. I've been saying that all week. I'm like, we'll just save the $40 million and give it to a left tackle and a receiver, and Huntley will be fine. I'm like, please do.
Have at it. Yeah.
He's a fine backup, but that's the difference.
Yeah. And at some point, you got to pay the backup, and that's...
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why, as a starter, he's way under 500.
I mean, for them, I think it would be smart almost every year to use a seventh-round pick on an athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
Like they took the Penn State kid a while back, and, you know, because those guys get hurt. Lamar's
every couple of years,
yeah,
you
maybe,
know.
Yeah, maybe not every year, but every other year, something like that, because, you know, you want to groom one. Like, I think it's important for them.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's a different style.
Especially the way they want to play.
Right, exactly. If you're going to stick with this style.
And
you're
going to have your quarterback run the ball 12 times a game and get sacked and take hits on passing plays and things of that nature. He's going to get nicked up.
And to be honest, and we've heard these rumors of their coordinator maybe being, you know, courted by Stanford.
Did you hear today?
No.
Jason Garrett, a finalist for that job.
Oh, really? I bet he recruits well.
I would much rather have Jason Garrett as my head coach for a college program than Greg Roman.
Yeah, 100%. But, I mean, that aside, if I'm Harbaugh, I think I have to have a long talk with myself and say, is this the offense we want to run going forward?
Long term.
I know we want to re-sign Lamar, and this has worked, but we might need a new playbook.
Would they be better served? And I know there's some similarities, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Running the Buffalo offense?
Maybe. Spread the field. More room for Lamar as a runner.
That would be more what Lamar did in college.
Yeah.
As opposed to what they're doing here.
Don't forget he won the Heisman.
Yeah.
And
throwing the football.
Throwing the ball a lot. I mean, that was considered a pro-style offense at Louisville, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more of a true spread, which is kind of what Buffalo runs.
I mean, everything's so condensed in this offense. Tight ends are close. Fullbacks close. Yeah. Everything's near the ball.
Get all these big guys on the field.
Right.
And Lamar's the little guy.
Maybe I would rather Big 12 it up, like you kind of said. You know, spread the thing out. You know, you have to, with a receiver or two, you actually fear and honor. I mean, Stephon Diggs wouldn't have the same numbers with Lamar in that offense as Allen, but he'd still be a 1,000-yard receiver.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
He'd still be valuable.
He wouldn't get 100 catches, but he'd have 75 or 80 for 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I do think that'd be smart. I mean, instead of a bunch of tight ends and fullbacks on the field, spread the thing out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I get what they're trying to do there. They want to create a seam and give the fastest guy in the field a chance to to run, but
I mean, the key to it is people have caught on. I
right.
mean, like, nobody had seen that before, you know, for a good year and a half. Wow, I don't know how to prepare for this. I only got 3 practices to figure it out, too, and I have no one in my building.
Now he's made the tour around the league.
That's what I mean. I think that's their biggest problem is if you're the Steelers' D coordinator, I'm going to study the Ravens that whole offseason, and it's not that complex. It's just different.
Yeah.
it's hard to figure out.
As I said when we opened this, it's a high school offense.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It really is, right. I mean, it's kind of like watching Steve Breston as their quarterback at Woodland Hills when I was a Pitt, you know, they had a lot of athletes and he was a handful to deal with and he didn't have to throw all that much and he was good enough at it and they didn't have great receivers because Breston should have been the receiver like he was with the Cardinals.
And we're not saying Lamar should be a receiver. We're saying
Of course not. I mean, I think they're underusing his skills as a passer.
I do too.
Yeah,
I thought that all along.
I remember after his rookie year, I did a study just for myself, you know, and I watched every one of his throws because everyone's like, this guy's not accurate. I'm like, I think he is. And his accuracy percentage was fine. It wasn't great at his rookie year. And I'm like, he throws more than well enough. I mean, and this is a Pickett problem too. I've used this comparison this week a lot. When they miss bad.
Yeah.
So everyone has this misconception that he's not accurate because he has some bad misses, especially his rookie year. And he even came out of his rookie year and said, I didn't like the new ball either. You know,
I was thinking about that because we've talked about it this week.
Yeah, I think it's a much bigger deal than anyone ever talks about.
I wonder if with Pickett it's because of the gloves.
Well, I worry about the hand size. And
because the gloves are super tacky. You see guys make one-handed catches all the time.
I assume they're the same gloves as receivers.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So I wonder if sometimes the ball just sticks in his hand.
This doesn't flow out as easily.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just
one finger gets stuck in it.
Yeah,
all of a sudden you're throwing a knuckleball.
Yeah.
You know?
That absolutely could be true. I mean, if you had a pitcher do that.
That's what you do. You try to pressure on different fingers to try to slow down the rotation of the ball or get some more friction on the baseball, and you make the ball dive.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want the ball diving.
You don't want the ball diving in this situation.
Yeah, right.
I just wonder if that's part of it. You know, so the gloves help him play, but the gloves also will cause a poor throw.
They might stick. Right. Again, one of the 5 fingers stays there just a fraction of a second longer.
Right.
all of a sudden the thing's not going where you
want.
Because
there's a Ben Roethlisberger at different times wore the gloves and then just went without it. He didn't. I don't want to play with the glove anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kurt Warner, Bridgewater, you've seen guys do it. I don't know. It's as good a theory as any.
Yeah. Maybe they could fix the tackification on the glove. Get the Kenny Pickett.
Get it really worn down.
The Kenny Pickett model.
Broken in or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Because you want the stickiness. You want to be able to spin the football.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't. Sometimes, again, you're going to pay that price because you're going to throw a bad one.
And maybe the tackiness of the NFL ball is a little different than the college one, or, you know.
I did note today, so I went back and looked on Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
They chart interception-worthy throws.
I bet he's really low now.
The last four games, he's had two.
Wow.
Which is great.
And
they were both in a Bengals game.
Okay.
He hasn't, the other three games that he's played, all the victories.
Yeah.
He hasn't thrown an interception-worthy pass in any of those games.
In case people missed it, we brought it up at the time. Going into the bye, what do you have, nine interceptions?
Yeah, eight interceptions.
And that many turnover-worthy plays.
Yeah.
You know, like he paid for every bad excuse, you know, every bad decision or throw, where in this case he got away with two. But usually you get away with some. Yeah. I mean, you don't pay for every one.
You don't pay for every one.
Right.
That's just the reality of it. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, did you know, and I'm sure you did.
Well, tell me anyways.
I will do so. Did you know you can now listen to Steelers Nation Radio anytime, anywhere, through your smart speaker? Just say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from iHeart, and Alexa will take care of the rest.
How about that?
We will be back with more right after this.
Let's go play some ball.
Always talking black and gold football on SNR.